Job chapter 36 and the first 18. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. The Bible, the Word of God, reveals and teaches about the wrath of God, of God's eternal punishment, of his holy displeasure against sin and against sinners. Christ himself, when he was here in the flesh, warned continually in his ministry of the wrath to come. The text before us is a solemn declaration, as all scripture is. It doesn't say there might be wrath. Neither does it say there should be wrath. Or there could be wrath. No, because there is wrath. The text solemnly declares there is wrath. And stands as a warning to many in this world. The words of Elihu in the text before us stand as a great warning to the ungodly and the unrighteous of this present day and generation. What shall the end be to them that obey not the gospel of God? And what or where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? A word of warning to the unbeliever, to the unregenerate, to consider his or her present condition, and to escape from sudden and everlasting destruction. No matter how much you seek to evade the sentence, or to erase the reality from your mind, or to shut your ears off to the solemn declaration, it does not remove the fact there is wrath. Wrath that is divine wrath, which is necessary because of the holiness of God and the due punishment of sin. That is wrath which is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. His justice to punish wickedness. That is eternal vengeance which is namely wrath to come. God is perfectly holy. And because he is perfectly holy, it is absolutely necessary that there is wrath. Because the holiness of God requires the punishment of sin. His holy everlasting displeasure against sin. Therefore, there is wrath. Wrath to come in another world. And all sins are deserving of, and which comes and abides on all impenitent, unbelieving, unrepenting sinners. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. And hence we have clearly before us the wrath of God. The wrath of God. An everlasting separation. a divine separation from God. And if men, women do not turn from their wicked course of life and turn to the Lord to live to Him and according to His will, unless men are converted and repent of their sin and there is a transformation wrought in his or her heart and life, God's arrows of wrath will be leveled against the wicked. There is firstly the reality of God's wrath. The reality of God's wrath because there is wrath. Because there is wrath. God's wrath. His eternal punishment of the damned is a terrible reality that men need to be faced with in this present day and generation. The fact that the popular God of popular so-called Christianity is not the God of the Bible. The social God, he has no eyes to see, no ears to hear, and no arm to punish the ungodly. Yet the God of the Bible had fire and brimstone for Sodom and Gomorrah. The God of the Bible dashed to pieces sinning nations like a potter's vessel. However, the modern God has no judgment in his hand. The modern God, according to the social gospel today, has removed the sword of divine justice and sits as an indulgent weakling. His arm that used to visit vengeance upon unrepenting sinners now hangs nervelessly and paralyzed. That is not the God of the Bible. And I refuse to worship such a God. For such a God is the creation of men, the imagination of men's hearts and their own wishes and folly, but not the God of this book. There is but one only, the living and true God. The true God, as our brother said earlier in leading the meeting, is the same. He's unchangeable. For when the lion roars, the beasts of the field keep silent. When Jehovah speaks, let the kings of the earth keep silent. Friend, Jehovah is the only sure and permanent rest of the soul. And those who reject him shall remain forever restless. For I am the Lord. I change not. Jehovah, a name peculiar to the Most High, who here speaks and is expressive of his being, of his self-existence, of his purity and simplicity, of his immensity and infinity, and of his eternity and sovereignty. God is the same in the Old Testament day and in the Gospel day, and will be so to his people forever. For I am Jehovah. I change not. Because there is wrath. It is he and he alone who will put an end to unbelief. He who hurled oceans over men and women, drowning a guilty world. He who reduced Sodom to ashes. He who destroyed Jericho with its inhabitants. He who gave Jerusalem to the Roman armies. He is the one who says, I am Jehovah, I change not. And what he has done before, he can and will do again, because there is wrath. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. It is a reality. It is a reality whether willing to face it or not. It is a fact settled in the heavens that the God of the Bible has both mercy and justice. At Mount Sinai of old, he set forth his justice. At Calvary of old, he is shown to be both just and merciful. And the God that is all mercy and not just is an idol of the evil imaginations of modern man. For such a God is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible. And God pity the mark in society today is the unknown God. Justice and mercy are the pillars of God's throne, and the day you take away justice and the punishment of sin is the day that you've denied the true and living God. And make your God out of the figment of your imagination. But such a created God is not the God of the Bible. He is not the God of people. He is not the God of Calvary. He is not the God of all heaven and of all earth. There is a hell. There is a hell. Because there is wrath. And these, the unrepenting, the unconverted, the unsaved, the unrighteous, the Christ rejecter, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Because there is wrath. There is, secondly, the warning of God's wrath. The warning of God's wrath. Because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. God's solemn warning to all sinners. All kind of sinners, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke, which is the stroke of his hand, and is sometimes given suddenly and in an awful manner in wrath and vengeance. Therefore, beware lest he take thee away suddenly with his stroke, and be so wise as to make thy peace with him quickly, and flee from the wrath to come. Such a warning given to us. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. There is a hell. Be sure of that. Do not seek to hide your face as an ostrich in the sand and throw the Bible out the window and Christ and the gospel with it, and seek to live as if the modern mind had been able to undo the revelation of God's wrath. Oh, hear me. Oh, hear me, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Oh, hear me. There is a hell, everlasting fire, where there is constant, continual, eternal weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where there is outer darkness, no light, no, not even a glimmer. Though fast-growing universalism arises in society, that men are all alike, saint and sinner, will turn up at heaven at last. Though all of that, because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Although soft sentimentalism tells us that the murderer and the murdered, the unrighteous, the righteous, the seducer and the seduced, the hater and the hated, the thief and his victim will all find heaven at last. Though all of that, because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Though popular theology, if you can even call it theology, claims that Cain and Abel, David and Herod, Jezebel and Elijah, Judas and Peter, Nero and Paul, all come out of the same side of the judgment throne still, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Friend, what a strange heaven. What a strange heaven if we are to, after all, believe what comes out of some church circles today. The hypocrites and the whoremongers will be there. Drunkards will be there. The backbiters will be there. The blasphemers will be there. All of them there together with the saints in heaven in the undefiled building of God. Well, if reason hadn't altogether left us, such thinking is blasphemy. Know ye not? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. For without a righteousness there will be no entrance into eternal bliss and everlasting happiness. And this righteousness must exceed the righteousness of what sinful men and women seek to work out, and which is none other than the righteousness of Christ. Men and women, boys and girls, you need to ponder long the truth that the sin that is rooted in your soul you will not throw off as you do your coat upon a hanger. Sin is a part of your being. and sin will live long after sun and moon have passed away, and sin, if not checked in this life, will destroy you and ruin you in the life to come, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. And finally, there is, and thirdly, the finality of God's wrath. The finality of God's wrath. Yes, we've seen the reality, the warning, but there is the finality of God's wrath. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. There comes a time when a man or woman is unable to be saved, because once God's wrath fall on an individual, nothing whatsoever can purchase, buy that soul back. Once a man is lost in hell forever, it is too late. Not even the blood of Christ is able to recover that soul. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. A time when you cannot be saved, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. When? Then. When you're no more in this life. When you've entered into death and eternity, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. It leaves men beyond hope. No longer in a day of opportunity. As our sister said in her prayer, in the prayer meeting, you're in a day of grace. You are in a day of opportunity. And if you're ever going to be delivered from God's wrath, it must be before it is too late. For hell, friend, is forever. And if you reject Jesus Christ and his finished work, my friend, in this life, you will not receive the benefits and blessings of redemption in the life to come. And therefore, there is the finality of God's wrath. And yet the Lord himself gives you warning. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? To flee from the divine indignation? To flee from the punishment that will come upon the guilty? Why not therefore flee from the wrath to come this very moment? Hasten to the place of deliverance. Hasten to Calvary's cross. Forsake your sin and flee to Christ, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Friend, it is then that men are beyond hope. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. God has given you this warning, that you would heed it and come to Christ, and cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from wrath through him. For it is the blood of Christ. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that keeps the sinner from going to everlasting fire. The finished work of Calvary's cross. Because it is the blood of Jesus Christ that is precious. As the Holy Ghost, the third person of God's Trinity, calls it precious. Precious in its cleansing power, because it cleanseth from all sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, there may be some sins. There may be some sins of which a man cannot speak. That there is no sin which the blood of Christ cannot wash away here and now. Do you realize it, sinner? You can be saved tonight. You can be saved now because you're in a day of grace. You're in a day of opportunity. A day to make a peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. You see, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Through Jesus' blood there is not a spot left upon any believer. No wrinkle, nor any such thing remains that is sins of deep dye and which have such a place in the hearts of men upon the conscience that nothing can remove them but the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Christ that makes us clean. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. For by the blood of Christ sprinkled upon our consciences, as the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled upon the altar and the sacrifice, this blood, His own blood, the blood of Christ pacifies God. The blood of Christ pacifies God. And purifies the consciences of men. It speaks to God in behalf of sinners. It pleads not for vengeance as the blood of Abel did on him who shed it, but for mercy. And so to sinners in the name of God, it speaks pardon to their sins. Peace to their souls and bespeaks their strictest obedience and highest love and thankfulness. Is not this precious? Justified by His blood. Declared righteous. Just as if we never sin. Is not this precious? It is precious in its preserving power. For the child of God is safe from wrath. Safe from the destroying angel under the sprinkled blood. Because it's God seeing the blood that is the real reason for our being spared. Therefore it is precious. Unspeakably precious. It was the Father. It was the Father that let out upon His own dear Son. The Father let out upon His soul a sense of His afflicting wrath against sin. Not His own sin, because He had none, but for the sins of those He came to save. Punished for sins. Not His own. He died to atone. And the Father speaks of His own sword. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. God the Father giving commission to the sword of His divine justice to awake against His own dear Son. When He had voluntarily made His soul an offering for sin, for it pleased the Lord to bruise Him and put Him to grief, and He was stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. It was He who came into this world, took upon Himself a flesh like ours, yet without sin, because He couldn't sin. And the main reason of this, becoming man in order to save men. He was born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, rendered perfect obedience to it, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross, and is being buried and continuing under the power of death for a time, and is rising again the third day from the dead and ascending up into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The end and design of all this, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, that we might be justified, declared righteous freely by the grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Because there is wrath, beware lest He take thee away with His stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Therefore, come to Christ now. The gospel never says, come tomorrow. If it does, show me in that book. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. For whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because there is wrath, Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee.